Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, here on this Total Request Thursday. Joining us now from NFL Network, talk about week four of the National Football League season. From the NFL Network, he's got the Lions and Cowboys coming up this Sunday. Charles Davis. Charles, what's happening, man?
Hey, how you doing, Bob? It's good to talk with you again.
Appreciate your time, as always. The big story through 3 weeks, one of, has been the roughing the passer. Clay Matthews has been culprit number one. The reports were yesterday, a couple of days ago, that they were going to, they being the powers that be, going to not necessarily change the rule, but look at how it's being officiated. How surprised are you, Charles, that this has been the rule that's caused the most controversy, not the helmet rule?
I think we all are, truthfully, because I'm not sure we thought as much, Bob, about when a quarterback has been sacked, about the body weight part of it being the issue, body weight on top of the quarterback. And we all know that this comes from Aaron Rodgers last year being tackled by Anthony Barr and breaking his collarbone. So, you know, it's the de facto Aaron Rodgers rule. And that was a clean legal hit, just unfortunate consequences. I didn't see this coming at all. You know, I mean, roughing the passer is always going to be roughing the passer, but clean, legal, on time, take him to the ground and even try and do it the right way that results in a flag. I'm struggling to get what little brain I've got, Bob, wrapped around this one. I'm really struggling with it.
What changes, if anything? Because Al Riveron is quick to throw out the rule on social media to defend
Al's doing what he has to do as the head of officiating. And one thing I have to keep in mind, remember the rules committee put this together and sent it to the officials. So the officials have to officiate it the way that they've been directed. But I think this conference call that we've heard about, right, that's supposed to happen, I believe, next week, Bob, I think that's, there's got to be some clarification in there. I mean, when guys try and do all the things you're telling them to do and try and do it the right way and there's still a flag, it's a loss of confidence, not just for the guys on the field. It's a loss of confidence in the people watching the product. And once that happens, then you've got a real problem on your hands. They've got to be very careful not to take football out of football, because that's where we're headed on this whole thing. We're changing everything on willy-nilly. And I liken it to NASCAR. You know, NASCAR has that driver's meeting every week. Mm-hmm. And so many times rules changes are implemented in the driver's meeting. It's not like baseball where it's like, okay, in Tampa, if it hits the catwalk, here's your ground rule double. They're talking about, okay, this week we're not doing this. Next week we're not doing that. We got to quit doing that in the NFL. We got to get some stuff and get it figured out and say, this is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to play. They've got to rein this back or we're going to have a real problem on our hands, because pass rushers can't exist this way. They just can't. I mean, William Hayes in Miami says he tried to alter the way he fell on the ground on a pass rush sack, ends up tearing his ACL. Unintended consequences.
Setback for the Dolphins too, but Miami, they're 3-0, and they've got New England, and New England lost to the Lions, who you're going to see this weekend. Dolphins 3-0 on the surprise level for you through the first three weeks. Still 13 games left, obviously. Where's this one rating?
Pretty high, because we saw them get into the playoffs Adam Gase's first year, and it felt like they were ahead of schedule. And then last year, I felt like there was a lot of strife behind the scenes, and you've actually heard about some of it. You've read it. You've heard it. You've talked to people, Bob. Jarvis Landry talked about how Adam Gase didn't really, you know, see eye to eye with him, even though he'd go in and beg him for different things to do. Jay Ajayi being jettisoned during the season. I actually had the game in London when he was so upset on the sidelines and then was dealt not long after that to Philadelphia. Not bringing back Ndamukong Suh. You know, I can go right on down the line. A lot of that was just Adam Gase saying, these aren't my type of guys, or they don't fit what I'm looking for with the team. Well, guess what? They've been replaced with people that other guys, you know, a lot of us would say maybe aren't the equal of them on the field. But obviously it's working, and the biggest part of it is how well Ryan Tannehill's playing at quarterback. He is really playing at the top 10 level. And if that continues, Miami's going to be dangerous throughout the season. And they're getting good play now from guys that you don't talk about, the Kenny Stills of the world, the Albert Wilsons of the world, right on down the line. This is going to be fun to see. And, of course, the big measuring stick is going to New England. We all know New England's 1-2. Last time they started 1-2, they finished 12-4. We're kind of used to this with New England. We'll see if it continues this weekend.
Charles Davis, NFL Network, joining us here. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. But the Patriots lost to Detroit and kind of were manhandled this past weekend, Charles. So they're 1-2, and in 2012, they did go 12-4, made it to the AFC Championship game, lost to the Ravens. But is this a different 1-2? Should there be some concern time for Patriots fans?
Well, I definitely think there should be some concern time, and we'll find out if it's a different 1-2, but it feels like it. And part of the problem they've got is they don't have their full complement of guys. Julian Edelman, of course, had a 4-game suspension to start the season, one of the better slot and first down type receivers in the league. You know, now Rob Gronkowski, because the threats outside aren't there, Brandon Cooks got dealt to the Rams. So who scares you? Not too many people. You know, Hogan, Dorsett, none of them are scaring people downfield. Not getting what they want from them. So Gronkowski's getting doubled and tripled, and it's making it harder for him. They don't run it with the great proficiency you're looking for. Sony Michel hasn't taken off as a draft pick. James White's still the mainstay. And then on defense, Trey Flowers isn't there, one of their better pass rushers. Patrick Chung, one of their better secondary guys, has been hurt and out of the lineup. So they don't have all of their people yet. I think when they get them, things will get better. I don't know that it's going to be the panacea that the Patriot fans are looking for. But I have to go with track record, Bob. Track record says New England will figure it out. New England will be a factor before this is all said and done. And if you want to get to the Super Bowl in the AFC, you're still going to have to deal with the Patriots. That's the way I look at it until further notice. And we'll find out again starting this weekend with Miami if they're going to start to make a move then.
Your game coming up, Lions and Cowboys. Dallas having a hard time putting points on the board. Detroit did not look good against the Jets, kind of sort of respectable against San Fran, and it dominated the Pats. What are you looking forward in this game, Detroit-Dallas?
I'm looking to see if Detroit can continue what they did against New England, which is dominate the line of scrimmage on offense and run the football. They put a lot of capital in that offensive line, and it paid big dividends against the Patriots. Now, the Patriots have really struggled against the run all year long. They came into the game, I think, 25th. I think they finished at 31st. So it's not like they were a staunch, stout defensive front to begin with. But when you flip it, when you look at what Detroit's trying to accomplish, drafting Kerryon Johnson, putting all that capital in the offensive line, getting LeGarrette Blount, take that pressure off of Matthew Stafford. That'll make him more efficient downfield, give him that big play ability out wide with Marvin Jones. Kenny Galladay has really come along as a second-year receiver out of Northern Illinois. And, of course, Golden Tate, you put the ball on him within 5 yards, he turns it into 15. So that's what you're looking for with them. I want to see if they can handle that Dallas defensive front, which has been so good in the early part of the season.
Tonight, week four starts with Minnesota. Feelings hurt by Buffalo. The Rams hurt in the secondary. L.A. 3-0. What do you make of this contest?
Well, you know, with Minnesota, I mean, no one saw the Buffalo game coming.
Nope.
I mean, if you picked the upset, you didn't pick it as a 27-6 game where they were up 27-0 going in there. No one saw that happening. So you ask yourself, what's happening in Minnesota? Did the Everson Griffin situation really affect the rest of the team as much as maybe it could have? And the answer is possibly and maybe even probably. I mean, that's one of their stalwart players going through some real struggles, and to see him like that has got to be disconcerting for people in that locker room. And now he's getting that full evaluation. We only hope he and his family will be okay. But as for the game itself, I thought Minnesota would run the ball more in the early going this season to try and get things settled down. Maybe they feel like they're struggling in the running game with the offensive line, that they're still trying to get together, trying to get Pat Elflein back at center. He's been missing throughout this time. Dalvin Cook says he'll be ready to play, and that'll be big for them in the backfield. But I want to see if they decide to do that, or if, as you mentioned, with the secondary issues that Los Angeles could have, Aqib Talib and Marcus Peters, their starting corners, neither one expected to play, do you try to attack with Thielen and Diggs and say, okay, this is where our strength is. Kirk Cousins is here. We paid him the money. Let's go get him and give it our best shot. This is going to be a fun one to watch because – Los Angeles is so high-powered on offense itself, you have to go into the game thinking to yourself, we may have to win a track meet. You can't go into the game thinking you're going to shut down Los Angeles. You may limit them a little, but overall you're thinking, we got to think about scoring 30 points. And if we don't score 30 points, we probably don't have a chance to win.
All right, Charles, it's Steelers week here in Baltimore. Ravens at Pittsburgh. Ravens 2-1. Steelers finally got their first win Monday night on the road at Tampa. We know Pittsburgh's had some drama there with Antonio Brown. Le'Veon Bell looks like he's loving life outside of Heinz Field. What's happening Sunday night? Always a competitive ball game between these two teams.
Well, as you well know, Bob, as soon as they put the ball on the tee and snap it, you know, it's just a fist fight every snap. You know, just as soon as you do a thump, thump, thump all up and down the line, and that's what we're going to get again. Baltimore looks like they're playing Ravens football again on defense, and that is a big, big deal for them. I mean, they've gotten after people early in this season. They're going to want to get after Big Ben again. James Conner is kind of the key for Pittsburgh to me. He's not Le'Veon Bell, not going to be, but a more than capable ball carrier, more than capable receiver. He helped salt away that Tampa game with some big runs late when Tampa thought they had a chance down three, and he ended up getting it done down the stretch. So I think that's kind of where this thing lies. Take away Conner, especially in the run game. Yeah, Big Ben's going to throw it around a lot, but try and make him one-dimensional. And if they do that, I think they got more than an even chance. You're seeing the best of Joe Flacco right now. This is going to be a fun one. I can't wait to watch it.
Charles Davis, NFL Network. Check him out on Fox this weekend. Lions at Dallas. Charles, we appreciate your time as always. Enjoy the rest of your week.
Will do. You do the same, Bob. Take care. Let's enjoy this ball game.
You got it. Thank you very much.
All right. Be good.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.